Into the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Remind you, we're teaching through the book of book of Daniel on Sunday evening. So we'll be in the book of Daniel, chapter 4. If the Lord doesn't come between now and then, and you come tonight and you worship with us. Matthew, chapter 7, and we're going to be reading verses 13 and 14. Let's all stand and show respect to the reading of the Word. It says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, now as we begin to go into the preaching part of the service, as we minister your word, oh God, we pray that your word would have free course here today, and we pray that it would accomplish that which you intend it to accomplish. We know that your word doesn't return void. And Father, we pray that you'd use this message perhaps to help us to worship you today in spirit and in truth. Draw your people closer to you. As a result of what is said, if there be anyone here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, may today be the day of salvation for them. We love you. We're so thankful, Lord, for the salvation of our souls. We're thankful for this little church you give us here at Bancroft. And we pray that all that we do would honor the sweet King, the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You can be seated. We'll give this just a real simple title, which is what I usually try to do anyhow. Which gate? Which gate? Which way? And that's actually what it does in the text. It really presents two roads. One's a narrow road, one's a broad road. It really concerns two different paths of life that you're on. What's so interesting, I think, about the text is you're either on one of the roads or the other. And it really behooves you to pay close attention on what road you're on, because one leads to eternal life. I think people on the narrow road have eternal life, but at the end of their lives they go to heaven. They go to be with the Lord. They have victory over death, etc. Eternal life is associated with the narrow road, whereas the broad road will end in destruction. And I believe that that is an eternal destruction from the presence of God. 2 Thessalonians 1. So, I want to tell you today, this is very applicable today, don't you think? I want to tell you that you're on one road or the other. And it behooves you to pay close attention to what I'm saying, because you need to know which road you're on. If you don't know which road you're on, in most cases, if you don't know which road you're on, then I can assuredly tell you, then you're probably on the broad road. And it will lead you to a path. It is a path that will lead to the end in destruction. And my friend, I want you today, above all things, to have everlasting life. Which gate, which road? I do greatly fear today that there'll be some here that hears this message and yet will not see the importance of making a decision. And a lot of times folks think they postpone their decision. You don't postpone a decision. When you hear about the narrow road and the broad road, you're either on one road or the other. And if you see the importance of being on the road that leads to eternal life, then you're either going to say, "Yes, I want to be on that road today," or "No." Waiting till later still leaves you on the road to destruction. You see what I mean? And you're one breath away. You're one breath away from eternity. So, which gate, which way? Now, what we're going to do, we're going to look first of all at the straight gate or the narrow gate. Look down at verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. That's the narrow way. Now, it gives a little bit of information on it in verse 14, because straight is the gate. It means it's narrow. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, I'm going to give you four details about this this particular way, this narrow way, narrow gate, narrow way. And we'll give you four details about this morning. Real brief on the first part, I'm going to stress the second part, the broad road, more than the narrow road. I'm going to mention some things here that I want to give to you. Detail number one about the narrow gate, the narrow way. The narrow way is all Jesus. I want you to hear what I just said. The narrow way is all Jesus. I didn't just say the narrow way is Jesus, because I think I need to indicate that this narrow way is all Jesus. In other words, what I mean by that is it's not half Jesus and then the other half you. It's not half Jesus and the other half something else. The narrow way is all Jesus. It's what I want you to see here today. All Jesus, not part Jesus. And that's what differentiates between churches today, whether or not they teach a way that is all Jesus or that is part Jesus. Now, notice John chapter 14. You know where I'm going, but I'm going to turn you there anyhow. It's God's Word. It ain't going to hurt you to turn over a few texts. So, John chapter 14. Now, here's why I say that this narrow way is all Jesus. It says in John chapter 14, and verse 6, it says, Jesus said, well, let me go ahead and read verse 5 because the question is asking. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether you go. How can we know the way? See, the question is asked, how can we know the way? Now, in verse 1, he had been talking about the Father's house. Remember? Verse 1, you go back up at verse 1 and verse 2. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. That means there's many dwelling places. And you'll notice again, I'm going to tell you, it says they are many dwelling places. Contrary to popular belief, he's not in heaven constructing mansions. It says they are many dwelling places. They're already there. They was already here back then. But you know where Jesus prepared your place there? He prepared your place on the cross. The next day, he went to Calvary's cross. I read a sign one time, a church sign. He said he took two beams and three nails and built a road to heaven. That's exactly what he did. That's exactly what he did. So he's the way. He prepared the way on Calvary by his sacrificial death and resurrection is where he actually prepared the way. Now it goes on down in the text, and Thomas wants to know the way, and Jesus said unto him, I am the way. All God's people say it. I am the way. Now again, I want to say to you, he's not part of the way, he's not a portion of the way, he's all the way. And that's important, that needs to be the salvation message, and that has been the distinguishing mark of the Lord's church all the way back to Jerusalem, is it preaches a way of salvation that is all Jesus. And I'm going to again tell you, I mentioned this Wednesday night to the church, if it's not all Jesus, then it's not Jesus at all. So, detail number one is it's all Jesus. You could say it's also a part of this same point. It's the gospel way. It's the gospel way. Romans chapter 1, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that trusts it. So, the first detail I want to give to you about this narrow way is this narrow way is all Jesus. That doesn't come as a surprise to you, does it? That's something that we here know. But what I wanted to stress today is that this way to heaven is all Jesus. See, where the problems come in when Jesus is only part of it. And if Jesus is only part of the way, then folks that believe that, in all reality, is really on the broad way that leads to destruction. You got to be on the narrow way. You say, well, Jeff, that's narrow-minded. It's a narrow way. It's a narrow way. Yeah, I'm narrow-minded about that. Because it's a narrow way. And it's all Jesus. You talk to someone that knows this way, and you ask them why they're saved. You ask them why they're going to heaven. You know what they'll tell you? They'll tell you Jesus. Jesus is why I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to heaven because for all the wonderful things that I've done over the years. I'm not going to heaven because of any other thing than Jesus. All God's people say,
amen.
Which road are you on today? Is it all Jesus? Is it Jesus plus you? It must be all Jesus. That's the narrow way. Number two. Detail number two is that this way is also, this narrow way, not only is all Jesus, but it's all grace. It can't be part grace or you don't have grace at all. Not only must it be all Jesus, but it has to be all grace. Does everybody in the house understand that? Turn to Romans chapter 11. Let me give you this. I said I wasn't going to spend real long with this, didn't I? That's all right. We'll go. I love what I'm talking about right now. I love my Savior, and I love to tell people about Him. And I love to tell you about a narrow way that's all Jesus, and I want you on that way before we leave this service. Romans chapter 11. I want you to look at verse 6. When you mix anything with Jesus, then you lose Jesus as far as salvation through Jesus. When you add to God's grace, you also lose grace. And we'll talk a little bit more about grace here in a minute. But I want you to see verse 6. It says, if it's by grace, then it is no more of works. Does everybody in the house see that? If it's by grace, then it's no more of works. Now what else does it say? If it's by works, then it's no more of grace. So you know what that tells you, Brother Rob? You can't mix it. The moment you add works to grace, you don't have grace no more. That's what it means to actually fall from grace, is to mix anything with grace. You know what the word grace means if you wanted to get a real brief and simple definition? The word grace means not of works. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. What's it say then? Grace means that when you say salvation is by grace, you are saying that salvation is not by works. That's what you're saying. You understand what you're saying? When you say it's by grace, you're saying it's not by works. And Romans 11 says you can't mix the two. The moment you mix the two, you're on that broad road. See, the narrow road is all Jesus and all grace. Has to be that way. That's how the Master established it. I want to show you a little bit about why salvation is by grace. Romans chapter 3, I like this too. Romans chapter 3, notice the verse 27. It asks a question. You know what salvation by grace does? It excludes all boasting on your part. That's why I like it. When I talk about being saved, I don't talk about all the marvelous things that I've done and all these other different things. I talk about Jesus. He's my boast. I brag on my Savior because He's the one that by His grace saved me. Salvation by grace excludes boasting on our behalf. And it says that, Romans 3 and verse 27. Where is, but that's a question. Where's boasting? Where is boasting then? Where's your boast at? Whenever you're saved by grace, your boast is in your Savior. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Salvation by grace excludes boasting on your part and puts all the boasting where at? All the boasting on the Savior. Our boast is Jesus. Because we're saved totally. That narrow road is totally Jesus and it's totally grace. Which means it's not by works. You say, well, faith's a work. No, it's not. Faith's not a work. Look at Romans chapter 4. It says in verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. You know why salvation is through the means of faith? Because faith is not a work. Faith is always in something. Let me use a crude illustration. If you're going to have a surgery tomorrow, and you might come, and of course your faith needs, I'm just using illustration, your faith needs to be in the Lord. But you might say, you know, Jeff, I got a lot of faith in my doctor. All right, now who's the object of my faith? When I said I have faith in my doctor, who's the object of my faith? Who? The object of my faith is the doctor. Everybody got that? I got faith in my doctor that he'll do a good surgery. Now, when the surgery gets done, who does the surgery? You see how the doctor is the one that does the work? You see, the reason when you say you have faith in Jesus, He did the work. See the difference? That's why salvation is by faith, because faith isn't a work. It is through faith that it might be by grace. My sole hope of heaven, the object of my faith, is Jesus. Who did the surgery there? Jesus did. He died for my sins, and He rose again the third day. A lot of people say faith's a work, but it's not. Salvation couldn't be by grace if it wasn't through the means of faith. You have to have the combination of both of those, and faith is not a work. And salvation by grace through faith excludes all boasting away from man and puts all the glory for your salvation in the sweet King of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it belongs. Detail number two, this narrow way is all grace. Matthew 5:1-2. I believe, let me look back. Well, forget it. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit. It's in Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You know what it means to be poor in spirit? He made you poor in spirit the day He saved your soul. You know what being poor in spirit means? It's not talking about being financially poor. It's being poor in spirit. It's the realization that apart from Jesus' grace, you're nothing. That's what it means to be poor in spirit. I became that way by the day that the Holy Spirit quickened my heart. I seen I was a sinner, and I realized I couldn't save myself. You became poor in spirit the day that you were saved. It's the realization that apart from God and His grace, you're nothing. So, detail number two is it's all grace. Detail number three, this path leads to life. And this life that it leads to is eternal life. Now, this I'm not suggesting that if you're on that narrow road, that eternal life's down here. If you're on that narrow road, you have eternal life. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12 says, He that hath the Son, what else does it say? Hath life. So if you're on that narrow road, you have eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. I have it now. The rich people in the world today is the people that have eternal life. But I haven't received the full benefits of my eternal life yet. You say, oh, yes, you have. No, I haven't. I'm not in heaven yet. I'm not with Jesus yet. The end result of the path that I'm... Listen now, I get excited over this. The end result of the path that I'm on is paradise. That's the end result. The end result of the path I'm on is Jesus. You want to be on the same path that I'm on today. Because if you don't know Jesus, the end path that you're on is destruction. And you need to take that real serious, because there's no different ways of being on it. One or two. You say, well, that's just not a whole lot. There's not. You're either on one or the other. And you need to know whether you are or not. So the third detail I want to give you about this road is that it will end with eternal life or the full benefits of your eternal life. If you have the Son, if you've trusted the Son, you have life. If you haven't trusted the Son, you don't have life. You're on that broad road. And you need to be concerned about that. Never ceases to amaze me, and again I'll address you parents, because I've been pounding this on Wednesday night. We drive our kids to be successful in this old world. And we leave out the most important thing in the world. And that's where they're going to spend eternity at. You ain't going to be here real long no matter how you slice it. There is an eternity out there. That's not a trillion years. It's a trillion, 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 trillion years. There is no end to eternity. And I'm telling you today that you will spend an eternity somewhere. You should want your children to be trained and taught in the ways of Jesus so that they will be on that narrow road. And not only should you want that for them, but once they're on that narrow road, you should want them to serve Jesus above all things in their life. The narrow road leads to life. The broad road leads to destruction. You're not a success if you don't know Jesus. You're not a success if you're not prepared for eternity. You're not a success if you don't have a home in the Father's house. You're not a rich person unless you have eternal life. Number four, detail number four. It says in verse 14, back to Matthew chapter 7, it says in verse 14 of the text that few find it. Everybody see it in verse 14. Straight, it means it's a narrow gate. Narrow is the way, which leads into life. Few find it. Few find it. I think the narrow way has to be illuminated. In other words, I think the narrow, you know what it means to illuminate something? I think it has to be given light. Not only does the way have to be illuminated, but the person that is going to seek that way has to be illuminated too. You can't see the narrow way if you're in darkness, do you agree? You have to be given light. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse 32, it says, after ye were illuminated. That means whenever they were saved that God had given them light. Now that's not no deep teaching, I don't think. It's all over the song Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now am found, was what? You didn't have no light there. Who made you see? Holy Spirit did. He illuminated your mind. And I saw, Brother Sean, I seen the need to be on the narrow way. Oh, I can remember making fun of hell. I really can. I listen to people talk about hell and I say, that's exactly where I want to go because that's where all my friends is going to be at. There was no fear there. There's a lot of ignorance there. There wasn't no fear there. But boy, when the Holy Spirit illuminated my mind, I got concerned about the road I was on. Seriously. I got deeply touched in my... I remember they're having right in this congregation of people. Come on, congregation was different back in them days. I remember listening to the man of God. I remember listening to the man of God preach and thinking, you're on the wrong road. And you know better. And if today would be your day. See, when I was 14, I thought you had to be 200 to die. I didn't think any young people died. That's just old people that died. I lived in Henshaw Addition in Polka. I lived in this house, and there was a house right here that had two young men I grew up with. A house right here, right beside that had another young man in it. And right around the corner right here was another young man that lived in it. This young man got killed. This young man beside me got killed. And this young man right here got killed within 2 years of each other. And the reality that it just don't happen to old people struck home. The Holy Spirit of God illuminated my mind and I seen the importance of being on the narrow way. And the joy of being on the narrow way. And the joy to be able to say from the depths of your heart that it is well with my soul. Got to be able to say that today, man. If you don't got that, you don't have anything. It's a way that must be illuminated. The Lord reveals that. Turn to Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. Would you agree with me today if I said the Lord reveals that narrow way to folks? Would you agree with me today if I said the Lord illuminates that way for you? Would you agree with me in that? A lot don't. But would you agree that the Holy Spirit's the one who lights the way? Revelation chapter 7, I think the seven lamps that are on the sea of glass that lights to the throne of God is a picture of the Holy Spirit because He lights the way to God. He does indeed do that. Matthew chapter 16. The disciples are asked who men say that Jesus is. And the disciples answer in verse 14, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, Others say you're Jeremiah. And now look, listen now, folks. Now he makes it personal with them. Whom do you say that I am? That's what's important, isn't it, Gary? Who do you say that he is? What is Jesus to you? Now, I'm telling you today, Jesus is everything to me. He's my Savior. He's my King. I want to serve Him till the day that He calls me out of here. But what's important is, who's Jesus to you? Is it personal with you? Do you know Him? Is He your Savior? See? Let's watch this now. Whom do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, I believe that you're the Christ. You're the Messiah. The Son of the living God. Boy, that's a deep teaching, isn't it? He believed that He was the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One that was to come, the Son of God. Do y'all agree that's a great statement? You need to believe that too today, by the way. I believe it with all my soul and all my heart. I believe that same thing. And you know why Peter believed that? Do you agree that he saw a great thing there? Do you know why he saw it? What's it say in the next verse that tells you why he saw it? Jesus wanted to give the glory to the right person, and that's God. He's seen it because God illuminated him. Look at verse 7. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood, that means man, hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. The Lord revealed it to him. The Lord illuminated the way. The Lord opened the heart. He did all that. All God's people said, Well, that's four details about the narrow way. It's all Jesus. It's all grace. It ends in life. It'll end in the Father's house. And the reason you found that way is because of Him. All right. Let's go ahead for the second part of the message. Let's talk a little bit about the Broadway now. The Broadway. And what I'm going to do on this Broadway, it says, wide is the gate that leads to destruction in Matthew chapter 7. And I believe that that is an eternal destruction from the presence of God. If you'll turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It talks about an eternal destruction from the presence of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want you to see it. Because a lot of folks are, there's been a lot of folks talk about hell and you just burn up. It's not eternal. No, it is eternal. Jesus, when He talked about hell, said it's where the worm dies not. That's the skin worms of the body. The worm dies not. And the body is not quenched, or the fire is not quenched, and the body is not consumed. It says in verse 8, or verse 7, And you who are troubled, rest with us, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey... Watch this now. That do what? That don't obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You obey the gospel by trusting it. You don't obey the gospel just by knowing what it is. You obey the gospel when you trust it as a means of saving your soul. That obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this now. Verse 9. Who? Those that don't obey the gospel. If you're here today and you don't obey the gospel, here's what it says. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of God and from the glory of His power. That's the broad road that leads to what? Destruction. I must say that the majority of people are on that way. Now let's go back to Matthew 7. Let's start to wind down a little bit and finish this message off. Y'all think what I'm telling you today is the truth? Matthew chapter 7. Now, one of the things what we're going to do with this Broadway is what I'm going to do is, instead of looking at details like we did, what I'm going to do with the Broadway is I'm going to talk about people that are on the Broadway. Different types of people that are on the Broadway. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you look at Matthew chapter 7, when you go down through the rest of this chapter, it talks about in verse 15, it warns you about false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing. It means they seek to appear to be preachers and prophets of God, but they're wolves in sheep's clothing. And they peddle false gospels. Not everybody that ties a tie around their neck and carries a Bible is the Lord's man. We live in such an all-inclusive time, but you need to understand that a lot of people on this broad way are religious people that have never solely trusted Jesus Christ. Now that I've said that, let's talk a little bit about worldly religions. You know, there's a lot of worldly religions, aren't they? Hinduism, Islam, Buddhism, Judaism, and I've just looked some of these up on the internet. Islam has, there is 1.3 billion in the world in Islam. You say, well now, they're trying to get to heaven their way. It's not their way. It's Christ is the way. Secondly, on this text, Hinduism, 900 million. That's 900 million people on a false way. It's a religious way. Some of those people are really good people, nice and kind, would help you. But they're not trusting who? The Messiah. You see, Acts 4 says in verse 12, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. And like I said this past Wednesday night, every nation on this earth is under heaven. So the same Savior that saves us in the United States is the same Savior that will save those in Russia, those in Japan, those in China, those in India. It's the same Savior because it's the same way. But these are on a broad way that leads to destruction. And that's the reason why when Jesus established His church, that He sent His church to the what? Somebody tell me. Sent to the world. Go you therefore and make disciples of all nations. Why did He send His people to the world? To bring them the message of salvation. Because they didn't have it. Again, it sounds narrow-minded. And when I preach this in public, people think I'm narrow-minded. Or on the radio, they think I'm narrow-minded. But what I'm trying to tell you, it's a narrow way. And it's all Jesus. You can't get there through Muhammad or anybody else. You can't get there by your deeds. Here's something I notice about world religion. I mentioned Islam, Hinduism, Judaism. Let's see, I just want to see. Judaism has 14 million in the world. That's a lot of people, would you not agree? We've talked about a lot of people, almost over half the world population. And that's not all the false religions I could have given you, worldly religion. It's a dangerous way. But we've become so all-inclusive that we say, well, just so you're religious, it don't make any difference, just so you're trying to get there. It's a narrow way. So, let's move on to the second part of this. One thing that all these, I was going to tell you that a little while ago. One thing all of these religions have in common is they're all works-based. Did you hear what I just said? They're earning whatever they do for their paradise. They're all earning it by what they do. Hinduism is works-based. Islam is work-based. Judaism is works-based. The Pharisees were part of Judaism. They're all works-based. They're trying to gain paradise through what they do in this life. They're all that way. All worldly religions is that way. You see, the narrow road is grace-based. It's different. So that's not a way. It's not trusting Jesus. It's not a way. Number two, counterfeit Christianity is not a way either. This is where the most deception is done. I looked up Christianity, and I'm just going to give you some numbers. Are you okay with that? This is under the Christianity heading. It lists 2 billion under Christianity. Remember, that's all inclusive. Roman Catholicism, worldwide, 1.1 billion out of the 2 billion. Over half Roman Catholicism. Out of the 2 billion, 1.1 billion worldwide. Eastern Orthodoxy, 220 million. Anglican, 84 million. Protestantism, 360 million. That's a lot of diversity there, is it not? But there is also a counterfeit Christianity. Do you agree? There's a counterfeit Christianity. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it talks about Satan is transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that his ministers seek to appear as ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works, according to what they did. You saying, Jeff, you saying the devil has ministers? Yeah. I sure am saying that. Let there be no doubt what I'm saying. Absolutely. That's why you need to know what the book says, and you need to know what the narrow way is. That helps distinguish things a little bit, I think. You see, on Matthew 7, let me show you something. 15 and 16 talks about false prophets, wolves in sheep's clothing. You think there are still wolves in sheep's clothing? You reckon that ceased after the first century? I think we got more wolves in sheep's clothing today than ever. I really do. They devour the flocks, and they spread false gospels. They're all inclusive. Watch this now. Are you with me? I just want you to see I'm not really, a jerk, I guess. But I want you to look at verse 21. I want you to look at verse 21 and 23. I preach to you a narrow way, two roads. One leads to life with the Lord, the other leads to destruction. Two. I said the way to life is narrow. It's all Jesus. It's all grace. It ends in life. Told you all of those things, right? Watch this. Not everyone, verse 21, that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You know what the will of the Father is? There was a man that came to Jesus and said, what must we do to work the works of God? That was a question Jesus was asked. You know what Jesus said? This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. You got to trust the Messiah, Lord Jesus. You won't go to heaven without trusting Jesus. Well, all Jesus. Watch this now. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And they claim to be prophets. I'm not going to get off on that, but you know how many so-called prophets they are today? God talks directly to them. Tells you what to do. You want God to talk to you? Open up His book and read it. This is how God talks. He talks through the means of His Scripture. Let me move on. I need to finish this. Have we not prophesied in your name? In your name we've casted out demons, and in your name done many wonderful what? Then I will profess unto them. Watch this now. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Are these religious people here on the broad road? They sure are, but they trusted a false way. Can I make one point here? Did you see any mention of Jesus there? They preached in His name, but they weren't trusting in His name. They were trusting all that they did in order to gain entrance into glory. But you know what? They came up short, and everyone that trusts themselves will end up short. You have to trust Jesus. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. If you've not trusted Jesus, He don't know you. You have to know Him as your Savior. He has to be personal with you. You can't be trusting anything else but Him. And it has to be all Him. It says, many will say to me in that day. They were religious while they was here. They might not have been part of Hinduism or any of the other isms, but they were part of counterfeit Christianity. And they were deceived with a false gospel. And they're on the broad road. And they were religious. They were good people if you looked at them on the outside. clean cut and they went to church on Sundays, but they never solely trusted Jesus. Because it wasn't all Jesus. It was part Jesus. You say, well, now, Jeff, today's message was horrible. Today's message was so cutting. And what I'm speaking of today is eternity. Many people are like the people in 21 through 23, and they've got ministers that tell them they're okay, and they've not thoroughly trusted Jesus Christ or trusted another way. When you come to the end of your days and you're out of this life, it's too late to change the way. My desire is that you know the right way and you be on the right way. That's the reason why I preach the way that I do. So not only is it worldly religions, but it's also counterfeit Christianity. Turn it back to 1 Corinthians 6. I'm going to finish this message. Is that all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It won't kill you. Might save you. There's a lot of religious people on this road. They've never thoroughly trusted Jesus. They haven't trusted the right gospel. And they don't have the right foundation. All this right after in Matthew 7. All of that really fits together. Can I say one more thing? There's a lot of immoral people on the broad road too. Not only is there religious people on the broad road, but immoral people on the broad road. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I want to give you some things here. And I've got to be careful not to preach this. I'm going to try to be done in 10 minutes. That is the 10-minute warning, isn't it? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 9 says what? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom. Do y'all believe that? See, when the Lord saves your soul, He gives you His righteousness, and along with that, He also changes your life. Do y'all believe that? So it says here that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You have to have Christ's righteousness in order to get in, but also He changes your life. There'll be a change in your life. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. There are too many people out there that claims to be saved that their life is immoral. It's ungodly. They don't even care about spiritual things. They have a profession of faith in Jesus, but they're not serving Jesus. And they're living in sin. And there's no evidence of any chastening in their life with regard to that. Do you agree? They're immoral. Well, here it says that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Let me tell you something about that text. This same idea is mentioned in Galatians 5 with a list, like here. It's mentioned again in Ephesians 5 with a list, like here. It says the same thing. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom. You know why it says that? Because it means exactly what it says. We go there and try to explain those texts away, what they don't mean. They mean just exactly what they mean. Not saying you're saved by your works, but He is saying when you're saved, He will change your works. The new birth will change a person. Watch this now. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. He warns you of that. Be not deceived, neither a fornicator. What is fornication? Sex outside the bonds of marriage. Didn't you think that was all right, though? It's all the show on television. A child that watches television every day between 10 and 20 will have seen 100,000 scenes of sex or sexual end-to-end of. Fornication is destroying the family unit in our land. It's sin and it's wrong. It's on the list. Everybody agree? God's people not to be fornicators or idolaters. Idols can be many things. I can't preach on all these. Adulterers, effeminate, or abusers of themselves, If you look this up in a Young Concordance, the idea of infeminate is lying with a male. Abusers of themselves with mankind, I believe, is the one is lying with a male or a sodomite. Effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind is describing the homosexual lifestyle. You see, it's on the same list with idolatry, adulterers, and fornication. You know why it's on the same list? Because it is a sin. It's not a race. It's a choice. And the danger of that is, now that it's been declared a race, it's going to open up persecution against churches just like ours that preaches it's a sin. Now, the reason why I preach it to sin is not because I despise homosexuality. The reason why I preach it, or homosexuals, I do despise homosexuality. The reason why I preach it's a sin, so that they'll see what they're doing is a sin and see that they need a Savior. These churches that go around teaching that they're okay are doing wrong. They're not okay. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom. Can a homosexual be saved? I get that all the time. Can a drunkard be saved? Can an adulterer be saved? Sure they can be saved. And then when He saves them, He'll change their life. Are you with me? Churches like this, in time, will be just like the Klan to people. You might see me thrown in jail because I preach that that's a sin. Hope you come and visit me every now and then. But you'll probably see that. And then if you preach the way I am and call it a sin, they call you a bigot and a racist. That's dangerous when they call you a racist. It's not a race. This is not a race issue whatsoever. This is a sin issue and a saved and lost issue. It's on the list. Can I say it one more time? Sean, it's on the list. God's Word declares it to be a sin. Is fornication a race? Is idolatry a race? Let me get off that. Neither thieves or covetous, nor drunkards or revelers or extortioners shall inherit the kingdom. Now twice it tells you on this list that those that do these things, this is their lifestyle, they will not inherit the kingdom. Does it say it or not? It's meant to say just exactly what it says, and it's meant to be just as cutting as what it says. This broad road not only is filled with religious people that's not trusted Christ, but it's also filled with immoral people. Their lifestyles are worldly and ungodly and immoral. And there's two other texts that does the exact same thing. Good news in the text, though. Look at verse 11. Everybody in the house, look at verse 11. It says, watch this now. Such were some of you. Everybody see it? Well, you know what the heavy word there is? Were. Used to be. This is what that means. Some of them there that was members of the church of Corinth used to be fornicators, idolaters, homosexual, thieves, all these things. But you know what? Paul went there and preached the gospel. And the Lord, in His grace, saved their souls. And when He saves your soul, what else does He do? He changes your life. He changes your life. You know why I preach these things are sins? So people that are in them, their sins would see they're a sinner in need of a what? Need a Savior, man. Need a Savior, and He'll change your life, man. He'll change your life. If your profession of faith didn't change you, there's something wrong with it. There'll be a change there. The Bible says old things will pass away and all things will become new when you know Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Last verse, Luke 13, I'll close. Closing with this. You see how cutty of a message this is? I mean, sharp. It's sharp, isn't it? It just gives you two roads. It's just two roads there. Not a thousand. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Oh, you're on a road, and we're on a road, and they're on a road. But all these roads lead to glory. Yeah, Scripture and verse for that. Scripture and verse for that. You haven't got it, because there's one way to glory, and that's Jesus. I just want you to trust the right way. And I want people in sin to see they need a Savior too. Luke chapter 13. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. That's the narrow gate. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Today you're sitting there living. You heard the message of the gospel. You heard the narrow way. You heard the way of salvation. I even showed you the end result of both. I even gave you a description of those that's on the broad way. Now I'm going to ask you to trust Jesus today. I want you to be on the same road that we're on. Those that have trusted Jesus. All Jesus. All grace. I want you to do that today. Because I'm going to hear me. There'll be a day when you wished you did. But you won't be able. You won't be. It's too late after you're dead. It's while you're living. You know, the rich man died in Luke 16, and the rich man Lazarus. And the Bible says that when that rich man died, he didn't know Christ. It says in hell, he lifted up his eyes and was in torment. And one of the things he said is he wanted them to send back Lazarus. He said, I got five brothers at home. I got five brothers. You send Lazarus back and tell them about this place. You know what Abraham said? They got Moses and the prophets. You know what Moses and the prophets is? It's another name for the scriptures. The Old Testament is called Moses and the prophets. They got the scriptures. If they won't listen to the scriptures, they won't listen even if one went back from the dead. I don't know what some of you is waiting on, but you can wait your way right into hell. And once you're there, it's too late. There's no crossing over. There's no change. It's your eternity is forever set. I point you to Jesus. I point you to Him. I'm going to ask you to trust Him today. The song Only Trusting says, come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. And He shall surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. If you're waiting on a sign, you ain't going to get it. I give you His Word. You know what He asks you to do? By faith to accept it. All God's people said, let's all stand.